word.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and open to Luke 16. I'm going to exhort you. It's a very dangerous thing to give a preacher a microphone. Expect him to put it down. Hallelujah. But I'm eager to hear L.A. Lego minister today. See, I didn't know when we first met them, to me, he was Alain Lee Gault. In Oklahoma, that's the way you spell them letters put together. It's Alain Lee Gault. So he had to get me very, like Jim did a while ago. It's like, no, it's L.A. Like, welcome to the USA. No, L.A. Lego. After about 10 times, I got it. So anyway, I'm eager to hear what he has to say this morning from the Lord. Now, did I say Luke 16? Well, let's close. How about Luke 15? Because we're going to look at a real common parable. Everybody's familiar with it, but I think we're going to bring out a few things maybe in regards to finances when it comes to kingdom living, okay? Now, see, if I was trying to get your money, we would go to the sowing and reaping chapters. I know how to do all that, okay? But we're not going to do that, okay? Is that okay with you? Okay. Now, verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son, now notice, gathered all together. Now, in his mind, he had received his portion. See, Jesus said, lay not up treasures for yourself, where moth and rust do corrupt. In another place, he said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Now, here's a good example. This young man, he says, I want all my inheritance. I want it now. Give it to me now. None of you ever prayed like that. Not quite like that, you know. It's like, give it to me now, God. I need it now. But in his mind, he had it. He had all that he needed. He had his father's inheritance. And you know what happens next here. I'm going to go quickly through this, but I want you to focus. He gathered it all together. This is his stored up portion. You got this? All right. So not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Thank God that wasn't you or me. Now notice, when he had spent all, has anyone ever been there? You ever have more months left than there was money? Ever? And he doesn't even have more money coming the next month because he already got all of his inheritance, see? And there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, it doesn't get a whole lot lower for a Jew than to be out feeding the swine. But it gets worse than that, because he got so hungry, it says he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. If you underline in your Bible, and no man gave unto him. And in the margin, you ought to write, thank God. Enabling is not of God, I'll tell you right now. Some people got to hit bottom. If they're like me, some people got to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times. But you're going to find out your way's not working. Okay, but anyway, that's not today's message. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, in his mind, he had already spent his inheritance. So he's going, I'll come work for wages. Just make me an employee now. I've already squandered my inheritance as a son. You see what's happening? His mind is going from sonship to employee. Can you see this? Father wouldn't have it at all. Anyway, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Now, wait a minute. He's already got his inheritance. But now notice the father says, no, no, no. You're not going to be an employee. No, no. You're my son. You think you spent all your inheritance. You haven't even touched my reserves. Now, it gets better than this. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. That is a signet ring, a royal ring. Everywhere he goes, that ring speaks for itself. You better stand aside. This is an important man coming through. His daddy is important. Got this? Okay. And put the shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my employee. No, no. No, no. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now really this parable, we normally preach it focused on the prodigal son. But I'll be honest with you, this parable is focused towards the Pharisees. They're the elder ones. They're the ones that, they're not the quote sinners, you know. They've been working in their father's fields. Now watch this. The religion. But now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, well, what do these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou hast never given me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Sour grapes. Now, I really want you to see this. Now watch this. This guy, there's a lot to be said for this guy. He didn't go off into sin. He stayed and worked in his father's fields. He's been busy about his father's business, but the problem is he does not know his father at all. He has relationship, but he has no fellowship. He doesn't know his father's heart. But as soon as thy son, who won't even call him his brother, but as soon as thy son, soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now what you're about to see here is not only a revelation, you're going to like it, but it also demonstrates the value of what Pastor Dave has taught us all those years about assimilation. Just assimilate the books. Just assimilate the books. Most of you know what I'm talking about. Just read them. Get them in you 30 times minimum. That's a good place to start. Anyway. And he said unto him, okay, I'm going to get that sentence, verse 30. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You could have had anything you wanted, anything you needed. All you had to do, son, was ask. I want to finish this and show you something. It was meet, it was good that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now one time as I was going through here again, just, you know, I've assimilated the books, all of the New Testament long ago, and I was going through here in that phrase, verse 31, and all that I have is thine. Suddenly, because I've assimilated, there was a connection. Something I said, Jesus said something like that. The Father says to this one, all that I have is thine. Now go over to John 16. Look at verse 14. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Why would Jesus want us to know that? Because the Holy Spirit, therefore said I unto you, he will take of mine and will show it unto you. Now look up at me. The prodigal son thought he had it made based on what he had stored up. He had received his father's blessing. He thought, because of this abundance, I'm set for life. Didn't last long, did it? How many of you thought you had it stored up? Anyway, now here's the thing. Abundance is not based on what you have stored up. Abundance is based on what you have access to. That's the revelation. It took L.A. a while. It took Bronk a while. It took us a while. I haven't really heard Jim's testimony quite so much. Alan Taylor, everybody I've ever known that's really gone. When the Lord called them out there, were you going to find out whether you believe him or not? You're going to find out it doesn't really matter what you have stored up. What matters is what do you have access to? And in that same teaching where Jesus says, he says, take no thought. Don't you know what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He says, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. Most people, it's James is true, they have not because they ask not. Trust me when I say I have become a good asker. I'm not going to go without that kid. If I need a kid, I can ask my father. You remember he said, you never killed a kid for me. You never say, I can have a kid. I'll go ahead and fess up one. Y'all know God called me to full-time while I was still driving trucks. You also know my testimony. I didn't obey him for about almost a year. Well, the main reason I didn't was my bills to pay. And one of my big bills at the time was a car payment. Oh, God, I could serve you, but you know I have this car payment. I didn't say it exactly like that, but really that's what it was. And I was so worried about that car payment. Now, here's the amazing thing. From the time that Sue and I have really did serve him, that's been a long time. That was 1995 when he went full-time, 1995. From that day until now, we've had a lot of cars, but I've never had a car payment. Yeah, I've never sold one either. Well, I had two once. A guy wouldn't let me give it to him. I tried. He wouldn't let, you know, so I had to charge him a little bit. But it was up to us. And we don't sell a car to get a car. I asked for cars. Coming back from Bronx the last day, you'll see that tan car parked out there. Coming back from Bronx, I had rented a car to come down there the last time I came. Because our car was getting too old. I didn't want to take it out of town anymore, the one that we had. And so I was asking the Lord about a car. And actually, I was thinking about getting a smaller car because at the time in Tulsa, gas was about almost $4 a gallon. And I was thinking, man, you know, I better get, you know, so I was thinking Malibu, Impala, something, you know, more mid-sized type car, you know. And the car I rented was an Impala, and I liked it, driving down there and back. But I kept saying, Lord, I don't want a car, I want the car. I'm asking you for a car. But somewhere between Birmingham and Tulsa, I heard a voice so clear. When I heard it, I turned around to the back seat like somebody was there. And I said, really? Because just as clear as you're hearing my voice, he said, your next car is a town car. I said, really? Hadn't even thought of getting a town car. When I got back to Tulsa, a guy that I had been dealing with, you know, we've been looking at cars, had never mentioned a town car or anything. He called me up and he says, Gary, we had a car come in yesterday. It's clean. It's low mileage. It's right in your budget. You better get over here and look at this car. I said, what kind of car is it? He said, it's a town car. I should have said, start the paperwork. I'll be. That's the car. See, only the Lord knew that gas was going to come down about half of where it was at the time. The Lord knows what he's doing. And, you know, even if it hadn't, I figured the same God that provides the car can provide the gas anyway. Amen. We've got to have that mindset. See, now this is offering time. What happens to you as you develop in this? Your attitude, you become more like a river than a dam. See, if you're always worried about not having enough, you're kind of a dam. Oh, good, the money stops with you. And you start stacking it up. But once you really understand what the money's for and how your father is, you become more of a river. Money tends to flow through you. You don't have to store it up because you have access to all that he has. You getting this? All right.